Revelation chapter 16. We have went through the first three. We'll do some review this morning, just a little bit on those. But we're going to begin reading with the fourth verse, and we'll read, or the eighth verse, I'm sorry, the eighth verse, and we'll read down through verse 15, the close of the sixth vial. And so we'll begin with the fourth vial. Revelation 16, verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just ask that you will speak to every heart that's here. It's so simple, dear Lord. You have made it so simple to be saved. There is nothing in this world that is simpler to attain, to receive, than your salvation. We don't have to buy it. We don't have to work for it. All we have to do is accept you as our Savior and invite you into our hearts. But Father, that old devil has tricked millions and millions of people through the years, that as long as they go to church and as long as they believe there is a God and as long as they believe that there is a Jesus, yes, but it's the personal relationship. So please, please, dear Lord, no one has to see this time that we've been studying now. No one. And yet multitudes will. Because they refuse to make that simple step, make that simple decision, to trust in you as their Savior and call upon you and ask you to come into to their hearts and save them. Please, Lord, today, don't let anyone leave here without knowing you. This study is a terrible, terrible study. You've given it to us so that we know what's to come, and I thank you for that, dear Lord. And justice and judgment must come because of the evil. But Father, again, no one needs to experience this and see this. So Father, please speak to our hearts now as we review the first three vials and then continue with the rest. Just speak to our hearts so clearly and so simply. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we talked about in the first verse of the 16th chapter, there was a great voice out of the temple and commanded the seven angels to go forth. And it was to go in times, and so it was in stages, very quick, and each had a certain vial or bowl in his hand, and each was to pour it out at a certain time, at a certain place. Remember that all of these judgments that we're speaking of here, They are centered in the area of Israel, of Jerusalem. And so it begins there, and then it expands from there as we look at these judgments. And the first was grievous sores upon the men which had the mark of the beast. If you refuse the mark of the beast, most, we're going to find that a remnant survived, but most were put to death if they refused the mark of the beast. And only if you were to trust in Jesus will you have the power and the strength to refuse the mark of the beast. And so any believer, an Israelite, a Jew that trusted in Jesus as his Savior, will in most cases be put to death immediately. Those that chose the mark of the beast all of a sudden now has an opportunity to work, to buy food, so they can eat, take care of their families, all this. You refuse the mark of the beast, you have nothing. You have no place to live. You have no food to eat. You can't work. The only thing you can do is try to beg and to steal to take care of your family. And again, being hunted always because of the stand that you make for Christ. Those that took the mark of the beast, however, will face judgment. And it begins. It has been going on through these scriptures. But again, this one is a pouring out of sores. And the best description that I think we could have would be like a person with leprosy, a person with an open ulcer, an open sore. The flesh, I believe, it dies. It does not heal, no matter what you would put on it, no matter how you would try to take care of it. It's just going to continue. Very, very hurtful. The pain is going to be great. And as well, you're going to have the smell, the stench of this is going to be very evident. That's the first one. The second one that comes forth is then the pouring out of the seas. Mediterranean will be first, and it'll continue around the world. All the oceans and all the seas will turn to blood, the blood of a dead man. The blood of a dead man. Again, immediate death to all life in the sea. Everything will die. And as well as everything dying, once again, we have the smell, the stench, the odor of this blood and the death of all living in the sea. Just that quick, it's going to attack. God will pour out a third vial, and that third vial is of the rivers and the fountains of water. Now, that when that is poured out, all the rivers coming across the Mississippi River, you could look at it, and today it is brown with mud, but you look at it and it will be blood red. All rivers. In the Word of God, God tells us clearly that it is His precious blood that saves. And so we need to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. It is His blood that was shed. His precious, perfect, sinless blood. So if we come by faith to Him and trust in Him, He will save us. The refusal of trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ, and most churches today never preach about the blood, never tell about the precious blood, and have even taken the hymns out of the hymn book that speak of the blood of Jesus Christ, because blood's appalling and they don't want to talk about it. No, it's the precious blood of Jesus. The world hates the blood so much. The world hates the blood so much that God, in His judgment, is going to make the people drink the blood. The scripture tells us, you have taken the blood of the saints. You have poured out blood of the saints and of the prophets. If you want the blood, here's the blood. Drink it. Drink it. Now in his precious word, he speaks about the blood, and in his precious word, he speaks about the living water. The living water. Now we talked about last week in that eighth verse that with the temple was filled with the smoke of his glory and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues were performed. We talked about the intercession of our Lord Jesus Christ is gone at this time. It doesn't exist. No one can be saved at this point. The offerings, the sacrifices, no sacrifices are offered. It's gone. It's finished. You can't be saved at this point in time. You just have to face this time. There is no mercy, none. It's over. It's over. And so we come with the sores, the open sores. We come with the water turns to blood. And again, God speaks so clearly about his the living water, the fountains of water that we can come to. I believe that all of that, God is showing us that, all right, you have shed the blood of the prophets and the saints. You drink that. You didn't want my living water. You didn't want my precious blood and trust in it. So here, water's gone. Here's the blood. Drink it. One of the judgments. It's one of the judgments. What a day. What a day. At the close of this section, before we start with the fourth vial, I heard another voice, I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." All believers will be in heaven. All believers, even though we may have children here, we may have parents here that has not trusted in Jesus as their Savior, and we are raptured out at the church, and we go home and be with the Lord, and here are these that are left. You think, that's going to break my heart. It won't. It should break your heart today. Because maybe you haven't told them about Jesus. But then it will not, because you and I are going to be in complete agreement with Jesus. And we're going to know the wrath that God is pouring out is right and just. Something else that most don't preach about, and that's the wrath of God. God's a God of love. He wouldn't send anybody to hell, no. Yes. And he's not sending anyone to hell. You're going all by yourself, my friend. All by yourself. And the fourth vial comes. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. I've always disagreed with Al Gore and his global warming, but I've got to admit there will be global warming. There's going to be it. But he's mistaken, because man's not causing it. God's going to bring it. God's going to bring it. We have back in Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, that a third of the sun, moon, and stars will be blacked out. We have many verses of Scripture that talks about the darkness that has come. And as we look at this, and in Isaiah says, the inhabitants of the earth are burned and few men left. Is God going to take a layer of our atmosphere away to increase the heat here upon earth? Is God going to reach in and turn the sun up a few degrees? He could do either. Do whatever he wants to do. Look at this great universe. I can't imagine just what we know with the planets and the solar system that we live in. How could anyone deny that there's a believer, that there's a creator? There's got to be a creator. Somebody has to do that. When's the last time that you put gas or fuel in your truck or your tractor or your car, and you never had to do it again? You just went and went and went. Well, if they believe in global warming, then let's see. The sun is maybe getting hotter. How can that be? They're of the principle that it's billions of years old. It's not. It's about 6,000 years old. But still, for 6,000 years, you know, if you had a vehicle that would run for 6,000 years, wouldn't have put fuel in it. Who put fuel into the sun? They said that there's rays shooting off of the sun. There's gases that are on fire that explode off of the sun. And they go thousands of miles up into the sky, off of the sun. Thousands of miles. And they stay suspended there for months. Where'd that energy come from? Where'd that energy come from? We're only 93 million miles away from the sun. That's our distance. We're 92.96 million miles away from the sun. For the light and the heat to travel that far to us. The sun is so big that you can almost put all the planets in the solar system in it. It's that big. It's that big. It's already 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the temperature. Now, how can that sun stay in its place and all of us rotate around it while all of us are turning, while everything is flying through the air? I don't know what it is. It's flying. We're all moving together. Space. And you're going to tell me that this just evolved? People say that, you know, I just can't believe that there's a God, and I can't believe that there's a Savior, that he could die on the cross and take my sin. I just can't believe that. Listen, that takes no faith in relationship to faith of believing that this thing just exploded into something or evolved. And I got to looking at that sun and the power and the strength of it. And it's been in place, warming us seasons, in season, you know, from one season to the other. Raising the you know, giving us life here. If anything, there should be global cooling. I mean, this thing should be running out of energy. But it doesn't. It doesn't. How great our God is, and why the world can't see that. Why they can't see it. This overwhelming heat is going to be suffocating. Suffocating. On the hottest day that you can remember, the hottest day, No air conditioning. The hottest day. What is something that you want, need on the hottest day of the year? Water. Water. Where's the water? There is none. There is none. Do you think when you go to the pantry to get your bottled water out that it's turned to blood as well? I don't know. I bet it has. I think every drop of water throughout the whole world, when it goes for that fresh water in the rivers, I think everything is going to turn to blood. No drinking water, and God turns the thermostat up. Is that a God of love that you've heard about through all the years? God loves you. He wouldn't do anything. Judgment, my friend. Judgment. Instead of having something that we enjoy and we would love to see for more than one day, and that's the sun. Knowing it's there, knowing it's coming, it's going to bring warmth. It's going to dry the soil out. It's going to raise bring the corn to life and the beans and the flowers and everything. No, sun's just life-giving. But it's going to go from there, and it's going to put blisters on the backs of man. It's going to burn with intense heat. You would think with this, with the sowers, and the waters turning to blood, and now the heat, surely man will fall on their face and beg mercy to God. But we all read it at the same time, didn't we? What do? They curse God. They curse the God that's bringing these plagues. Curse God. Most dangerous thing in this world that man can do and that is to turn from God. To hear the truth, hear His ways, hear His promises of salvation, and then boldly turn from it. Boldly turn from it. Fifth vial. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed with their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Fifth angel poured out the vial, and the kingdom was full of darkness. It's only been one other time the true darkness came upon all the world. You know when that was? Yep, when Jesus was on the cross dying for our sins. God put a darkness upon, and I think this will compare to that. So far we have the grievous sores, we have the sea turned to blood, we have all life of the sea dying, we have the fresh water and the rivers turning to blood, all living in the rivers die, we have no water, next we have the burning heat of the sun, and now darkness. The entire universe is dark. A darkness that you can't see through. Pain is so unbearable that nothing works. I don't care what they take. I don't care what they try to do. You see, they can't take their own life. They can't shoot themselves. They can't die. God says, "I'm going to judge you because you have refused my son. You have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Judgment's coming." So nothing will work. Nothing will get them away from this judgment. Gnawing their tongues and curse God. Nahum 1 tells us darkness shall pursue his enemies. And Jesus says in Mark 13, "In those days the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light." Total darkness. No moon, no sun, no stars. Total darkness. Again, after this, surely man will repent. There's a day on this earth that man can pass the day of repentance. God stops calling. It's not because you have been so evil and wicked and done, you know, some horrible things. It's because you have done the most horrible thing, and that's refused his son. How many times do you hear the gospel? And yet you refuse to trust in Jesus. You believe it all, but you just refuse to come by faith to Jesus. They accepted the lie, and that lie has brought them damnation. And we look at the sixth vial. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. We have watched sores come, the sea and the rivers turn to blood. We have watched the sun turn up to a scorching, burning temperature. It kills everything. Kills all life, all the vegetation, and it just burns man. They try to get away from it and won't be able to. And then we find darkness come. And now, something that might seem a little strange. The Euphrates River dries up. It's kind of the dividing place between the east and the west. The Euphrates River has to dry up so that the great armies can come across. And the next verse is here. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and of the beast and the false prophet. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles. So all the same time that the Mediterranean Sea is dried up, just like when they crossed the Red Sea, and they crossed the Jordan River. You know your scripture, why God delivered Israel out of Egypt, and he divided the waters so they could walk over on dry land and head for Sinai. And then as Pharaoh's men followed, then they, we love the the liberals and the liars of the scripture, because they says the sea was just a marsh. They just walked across. Well, number one, it says it's dry land. And the other thing is that, you know, it's awful hard to drown a horse in a couple foot of water. And the next morning, Israel saw the horses and the chariots and the men drowned floating up to the shore of the Red Sea the next morning. So you see, it was judgment. And then come to the Jordan River, Israel needed to cross over, and they were able to cross over and then get victory. And so judgment once again came upon the world as they destroyed Jericho and began to take the promised land. So judgment once again when the waters were divided. Well, this is the same way. This time God didn't just divide the waters, he dried up the whole river. It wasn't no use to have it. He dried up the whole river, so all the enemies, seem strange, all the enemies of Israel can come across and come upon the nation of Israel. Wait a minute, isn't this God's chosen people? These are believers. Why would God open a door and a gate for the enemy to come? Because he's going to gather them together to one place. To one place. This Armageddon is the Mount of Slaughter, is what that means. God uses these three devils, these three evil spirits, to go, and we find scripture after scripture that this has been used before to gather up these armies. And they go about spreading lies and lying and getting an anger and a wrath with man against Israel. And it brings all the armies, all the nations of all the world together. And many of them are going to march right across this old river that's dried up, coming down on Israel. Down on Israel. Now, if you don't know the rest of the story, you're going to have to come back next week, because I want you to come and find out what happens to poor little Israel. Why would God turn his back on Israel and allow this to happen? You come back and see. Come back and see. We've sung hymn after hymn about the promises that a believer has. His home, Jesus is coming. Be excited about it. But if you don't know Jesus, you've got nothing to be excited about. Because when we look at what's going on in this world today, Jesus cannot tarry much longer. He is going to come. And when he comes, it's going to be victory for the believers, but it's going to usher in this 7 years of tribulation that you're going to be a part of if you don't know Jesus. It's so simple, so plain. And that's the reason so many miss it, because they depend on baptism or church membership or Lord's Supper or just their own works, you know, something. And all you need is ask Jesus into your heart to save you. That's all you need. We think it's a wicked time now on this earth. You see the news. When God begins to bring his wrath upon the enemies, and that's what they are, we can't imagine what it'll be like here. Just can't imagine. Let's close with prayer. Father, you can bring sores onto man. You can turn water into blood. You can turn up the heat. You can turn off the light. You can dry up a river that's 1,700 miles long. And this is all judgment. And this all comes because folks refuse that precious free gift of salvation. How many times, Father, we can say it was made, yeah. It couldn't be any simpler. It's free. Father, help us to take this precious word out. That folks that we know and talk to, that they don't face this time. Especially, Father, don't let someone leave today not knowing you. Thank you for your precious word. I thank you for each that have come to hear it today. Please, with your precious spirit, speak to hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.